Blog Talk Radio.
Fashionable fight has drawn the finest people. Where is thy salute?
For presenting yourselves on this battlefield. I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland.
And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them.
Oh, the English are too many.
I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Killed men by the hundreds. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arms. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that? No! We will run!
And we will live.
Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your bed, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Everybody, Joseph Gibson podcasting here worldwide, understanding the times in which we live today, eve of Memorial of the 4th of July. If you remember 4th of July, we used to celebrate fireworks and everybody, yeah, you know, and they still do, I think, out there, you know, people blowing their heads off, sticking their heads down the pipe and everything, looking, boom, blowing off. I remember when I was a kid, you know, the fire, we were going to see the fireworks. It was, whew, God, I think it was in 19, I think my grandmother would remember, she's on the line here tonight, I think, still, but she's dozing off. I think I woke her up there, but I think when I was a kid, I was living on Mohawk Drive in Wallingford, Connecticut, and we were watching the fireworks, and they just were going off, and all of a sudden they just stopped, and nobody knew what happened. We'll come to find out the guy who's stuck his head down the pipe there to see what was going on with the mortar going off, and it went off and blew his head, took his head right off, so blew his head off, so I don't think he's celebrating freedom right now, but the 4th of July is not the same anymore. Obviously, we've lost a great deal of our freedoms, and what freedoms have we really lost? What have we lost as freedoms? Well, you know, I'll play something here for you. I think the audio should be pretty good here, and just give you an example here as best I can as to what we have lost here as Americans. And it's like, for instance, the Federal Reserve has enslaved us. We no longer are free. The bankers, the money changers own us. We have a corporation. We don't have a republic. You know, we have a mob rule system. And people even believe that now, a democracy. But, Hey, I guess we can thank that generation of yesterday, too, because it wasn't my generation that really made this happen. We're letting it get worse, but was it our generation? What generation was responsible for all this nonsense? I'd like to examine that. Well, let's examine, but I'd like to see what freedoms do. Well, let's remember back to 4th of July's of yesteryears, of when we have freedom. Remember certain things, or can you give some examples of how things are different today than they were years ago? Even if you don't call in, even if we don't talk about it, think about it, the people that listen. What was different 30 years ago? How much freer were you? How have you lost your freedom today compared to yesterday? That, I don't think we should be celebrating on 4th of July. This is not Independence Day. This is not freedom.
The survivors and the rebuilders, who are the people, the kind of people that watch this very show. And the reason is because the globalists, in order for them to succeed long-term, they have to achieve a near 99% extermination, and they won't. They may exterminate 25%, maybe even 50%.
What you're saying is so smart. I've got to interrupt. You're right. And the people say, well, they're losing. If they're only getting a low percentage to inoculate, why are they doing it? Once they trigger this, they can't turn back. It's like a boulder going downhill. They've already initiated the war. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they've initiated the war, but they've already failed in the long run because so many people are aware of it. They did not succeed in silencing every voice of truth. They did not succeed, although they tried desperately, especially with InfoWars. But the other thing is that the answer for those of us who are going to rebuild a new society rooted in principles of liberty, the new America, as I call it, all we've got to do is survive this engineered collapse, which means we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready for no power grid for 6 months or a year, no food supplies for a year or longer, and so on. We've got to be prepared and mentally prepared as well for what's coming. Once we make it through that, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy. A lot of lives will be lost. Families will be destroyed. You know, it's going to be hell. But if we get through that, then we will succeed in rebuilding society and defeating the globalist agenda, because at that point, they will have nowhere left to hide.
And by the way, we're not just saying this. All the globalists explained to them. We told people this 10 years ago. Now it's in all the New York Times, Washington Post. They've got armored redoubts. They've run to New Zealand. They've run to Kauai. They've run to Tasmania. They've run up to northern Canada. They're all digging in and leaving and hiding. I mean, they've done this. They've triggered this. We're not trying to be negative. We're not trying to scare people. They've initiated the damn collapse of the planet. It's so horrible.
Yes.
It's just horrible.
And you know, realize that preparing is not just about self-defense. It's not just about defending your life or your family or your community or even your nation. At this point, preparedness is the most important pro-human activity in which you can engage. And I'm really trying to emphasize with people in my own work about being ready for off-grid situations. So, and this is not a commercial plug for any company I know, but just have a solar, you know, power bank, a solar generator is sometimes called. Have a way to gather solar energy, store it in a device so you can charge yourself.
For 5 years, it's I better be off the grid. I better have everything.
Yep.
I better get ready. And I'm not even myself ready because I'm so busy fighting up on the front lines. But, I mean, absolutely, you can see this.
Yeah, no, I know the feeling. I have the same conundrum. It's like how much should I spend, how much time doing videos and helping others versus doing my own preparedness, right? So we try to balance this, but everybody's got to be ready to operate off-grid, which means off-grid food preservation, off-grid being able to charge small electronic devices such as a night vision device, you know, for security or a radio.
About what it's going to look like if they do a three-month power grid off. That'll create irrevocable problems 50 times worse than the COVID lockdown. You'll have just masses of burning cities, starving people. It'll look like a zombie apocalypse within 2 weeks.
It will absolutely be a zombie apocalypse, and there will be mass migrations out of the cities for those who can survive the trek. Now, cities like Los Angeles, being that there's so much desert to the east of L.A., there won't be that many survivors who can walk out on foot from Los Angeles. L.A. will be turned into a massive death zone. It seems to have already begun with some of the videos I've seen with the massive homeless camps, the trash everywhere. It's a city in collapse, but That's going to happen in Chicago. It's going to happen in Miami, in Houston.
See, Mike, people don't get civilization with our top engineers was hard to continue. Once the globalists made us decadent and evil and started shutting it down, it will collapse. They've initiated
yes.
it.
Yeah, we're going to have a combination, I say, of I Am Legend with Will Smith and Idiocracy with Mike Judge. So we're going to have legendary idiocracy, basically, all across America, just mass death, mass collapse, people who are unprepared, clueless, have no idea what to do. And then you're going to have this small contingent of survivors who are the veterans, you know, former law enforcement, retired cops, preppers, people who watch this show. These are the people who are going to be the survivors. We're going to have a mass die-off in the United States. There's no question in my mind. And I mean tens of millions of people will die because of what's being engineered. Without a power grid, every major city collapses. And you'll have a 70 to 80% fatality rate in those cities, even according to government reports on the after effects of the EMP weapon.
So they're just starting the euthanasia because by the time there's a full collapse, no one will notice while everybody's dying because it'll just be no food anyways.
Yes, I think they also know that when the collapse comes, there will be very limited resources, and they're trying to pre-exterminate as many people as possible so that those people aren't taking the food supplies that a lot of these Democrat governors have
squirreled away. And they're testing the
media
to protect, because if you'll cover up treatments for viruses, and if you'll cover up mothers that kids die, you'll cover up anything during what's about to happen. It was all just a test.
Yeah, I know, but what's fascinating is the relevance of media and even the Internet will be obsolete when the grid goes down. I mean, think about it, folks. There will be no functioning Internet for this period of time. Not forever, but as the grid is down, there's no Internet, there's no media, there's not even cryptocurrency when the grid's down, see? So you've got to have backup plans. You've got to have food. You've got to have silver coins.
They're all going to have the money prepositioned, guard their facilities during the collapse that wipes out all their competition. Then once they turn the power back on, they'll be the last people standing.
Well, I think there's no doubt that all the retailers are going to be looted very, very quickly. Some may have a defense, as you mentioned, and they may be able to hold out for some period of time. But once the starvation spectrum kicks in, you know, when people reach famine, their behavior shifts quite dramatically, and they drop any pretense of polite interaction in society.
Humans become psychotic murdering machines.
Absolutely. Yeah, you said it, psychotic murdering machines, and or zombies, as we say, and that's coming. That's absolutely coming. The shortages are real. The food shortages, you've probably seen it in your commercial operations. I know I have. The shortages are real. Supply lines are collapsing.
I was talking to Norm Pattis in Connecticut. He said the store shelves are half bare. He said it's like a perfect
I'm not surprised. Yeah, it's going to get way worse, and they are intentionally shutting down food production by using COVID as an excuse in many cases. And also transportation lines are completely maxed out. They can't get enough truck drivers, trains, ships, anything. So it's coming, folks.
Because they threw a knurl into the whole supply chain. Meanwhile, Gates is buying up all the farmland for on the other side of this.
You're exactly right.
Mike Adams, most powerful interview ever with you. Let's come back and talk about more solutions. We've given folks the bad news. Let's talk about survival straight ahead. You know where the CIA tunes in.
All right, everybody. Joseph Gibson, podcasting here, understanding the times in which we live today. Norm Pattis, he talked about Norm Pattis there. I know Norm Pattis, actually, in Connecticut. This is your liberty, folks. While you're out buying fireworks and watching the fireworks go off and blowing your fingers off, and I'm watching the funny videos on the Internet, people, you know, a guy in a wheelchair lighting off a firework, I can't get away, and it's burning him up, and people are standing around laughing. This is what you are concerned about. This is what you are thrilled about. This is your life. This is what's important. Going on MeBook, self-book, taking selfies, and blowing each other up with fireworks. This is what you care about today. Shame. You should be ashamed. If you walk into any grocery store, you know, you see. Oh, you're probably not thinking nothing of it, are you? Some of those shelves that are bare. Well, you know, they're just back. Well, you know, that guy just didn't order it, you know. He just didn't order it, right? I walk into Summerfield Food Line, Summerfield, North Carolina, here in the food line here, and I watched through this pandemic how the food supply has whittled down. They block and face the store, so it looks like the shelves are full. You take the first two down, and its shelf is empty. And most of the shelves are already empty. There is a food supply shortage. There's plenty of milk. There's plenty of eggs. Yeah, okay. Plenty of bread. Okay. But most of the other products, the processed foods, and whatnot that we've all become dependent on, that are chemically dependent on, that our cravings and lusts and wants and brainwashing that these globalists have used throughout the years and years of brainwashing is we all want. It's not there anymore. It's not there. Go look at your ramen noodle section. Gone. Okay? Go look at your DiGiorno pizza, frozen pizza. Gone. At least here in North Carolina it is. I don't know how it is up there. Why don't you guys check it out, wherever you're at. Tell me if I'm wrong. Okay? Now, I'm out here in the country. This is hard. You know, a lot of truckers have a hard time getting to these areas because it takes long routes. Now, if you're in a port city and you don't see it yet, well, you will. You will. So, because I know you have a lot of naysayers out there, ain't nothing going to happen, you know, okay, I know, just like 20 years ago, I was a nut job when I was talking about the New World Order when Mark Konarki was up there with Sam Donaldson on Nightline talking about the New World Order, and I was posting that video on MySpace, and I was getting kicked off there, actually. Well, I wasn't getting kicked off, but I was getting flagged. I was a kook job, New World Order. The dollar's never going to collapse. It ain't going to happen. Better watch that 10-year yield note, buddy. Whoever's out there, the naysayers. Let me tell you something. It's almost there. It's almost there. When that thing hits 0.25% lower, the United States dollar, as the world reserve currency, is no longer. And we were already reduced our credit rating, if you remember, during the Obama administration. Remember that? Does anyone remember that? Because I do, and it didn't change. So when that happens, let me tell you something. Russia has already denounced the dollar. They're switching already over. We reported on that 2 months ago. China is in a big position right now for a takeover. What do you think the Chinese are going to do? Do you want to be enslaved in a communist internment camp? Because let me tell you something. They've got a 100 million man army over there, just waiting to dig its fangs into people like us, Americans. They don't like us. They don't like us at all. And that's because you're stupid representatives, you're dumb, greedy, sexual, perverted representatives, the devil worshipers, the ones that worship. They think they got this one world order all figured out. It's going to be a chaos. And I think this is where the Antichrist will come in. There'll be chaos. There'll be a lot of disorder. I'm not 100% sure. I've talked about the Bible, and it all does come back to God in the end. It does. It all reverts back to that old mighty word, and it's not religion either, because I don't know where anybody gets this religion thing, you know, this religion. I don't have no religion, so I don't know. But I've asked one of my friends here to come on and give a little preaching here about this, the end times, because we are in the end times. I don't know if he's going to come on or not, but we'll see if he does. But I've got a caller here, 509. Go ahead.
Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Same shit, new day. You know, talking about those food shortages on the shelves, I can attest to here in Washington during the so-called COVID pandemic, the shelves were pretty much like that. One of the ironies of it is part of what I think they did is they intentionally ordered less, and you saw the prices go up. And to me, that's one of the evils of capitalism, because you saw people buying stuff here. They owned it, had the receipt, legally owned it, and then they would turn around and sell it on the street, and then they'd be arrested for it. I actually saw that here when toilet paper was such an issue. And I'm sure a lot of people remember that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Remember that? The paper towels and toilet paper? Nothing. Nothing on the shelves.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what's up with him?
Everything's
crazy.
Gone.
Yeah. They're still limited. The shelves are still not fully stocked here with that. And like I said, the ramen noodles, complete rice hasn't been on the shelves here forever. I mean, especially instant rice. Gone.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what's up with that. I mean, it's insane. And if you look at the product section where your facial creams are and stuff like that, if you go to that, I forgot what they call them, the beauty product section or whatever of your grocery store, they have very little stock there. I mean, it's insane.
It's true. I've seen it myself. And like I said, to me, it was just one of the evils of capitalism because, you know, stores grocery stores and retailers should not be legally allowed to intentionally order less to drive up prices to the consumer. That should be illegal.
But you see, I really don't think that there. I spoke to the manager at my grocery store because I'm always a thorn in everybody's side wherever I go. I'm sure you know that.
No shit.
But I just slapped my own self down to the ground.
You
can't say I'm not fair. You can't say I'm not fair now.
Right.
But
I can agree with you. I mean, you know, but looking at it like this, you know, at least we can all laugh at it.
Yeah, true. But anyway, I talked to the manager, and he put me in charge of his grocery department there to go talk to him, the grocery guy. He says, he'll be in tomorrow at 3 o'clock to do the order, the truck order. He says, why don't you come in? Because I told him I'd do a podcast show and whatnot. And he told me, he says, no, I'm ordering the stuff. The trucks just aren't coming in. He tried blaming
right.
it on the labor force. But I said, okay, when's your next truck coming? He goes, tonight at midnight. So I went down there at midnight, and I talked to the truck driver. And he said, well, at the warehouse, they don't have nothing there. At the warehouse there in Raleigh.
Shit.
That's where they drive up from their warehouse to supply Food Lion Chain. So I called the warehouse down there, and they said, well, the shipping companies, which are, I don't have their names here, they're weird names, actually, the shipping companies that ship to the warehouse that make these products, or I don't know if they make them or not, I'm just going up the ladder here down the chain,
right.
I'm contacting them, and they had no comment. So, you know, but so therefore, there's something going on here. There's something going on that... there's a shortage. And what's going on? Is it because of all the chemtrails? I mean, for God's sake, I remember 10 years ago, them spraying like crazy, these geostrophic engineering program that they were doing. I called my local sheriff's department, made a complaint, and said they were spraying me. I says, I'm out here mowing a field right now, and I got a jet going, five jets going back and forth. I had a crystal blue sky, and now it's all cloudy. You know, it's a cloud cover. And he couldn't, you know, he put me in contact with air traffic control at PTI Airport, and I made a complaint to them, and they said they'd look into it, and they said that was a military. And I said, oh, military? What the hell is the military doing exercises over a populated, you know, civilian area? So anyway, it's geostrophic engineering. I looked it up. And what they do is they spray these aluminum particle chips that have these chemical reflectors in it, and what they're saying is that it's for the ozone layer. That's what they say. But that stuff comes to the ground, and it gets into our soil, and it contaminates the soil. And you
Absolutely.
Can't grow natural products, heirloom seeds. You
right.
can't grow them once it gets so far embedded into the soil. And it's absolutely true. I tried growing all heirloom plants one year, right out of the ground. Not all the plants grew, but they didn't produce any fruit or vegetables, nothing. They didn't bud out at
right.
all. And I was like, holy shit. I'm talking 200-300 plants I got from the Summerfield feed mill, and not one of them produced one fruit or vegetable. Cucumber, lettuce, an apple, a grape, nothing, nothing. And it was like, man, so this shit, this crap is true, man. It's true.
Right. Well, like I said, I've seen it here.
Yeah, and you're in you're directly all the way on the other side of the country in Washington, and you're telling me the
right.
same thing I'm seeing over here is true. So, I mean, what's going on here? I mean, what's going on? And I just told you how I, you know, went up the ladder. But you see, then it all reverts back to, like I said, the God thing. You know, I mean, God, everyone says, well, these are the end times. But people aren't listening to it. They're rejecting it. Why, though? Why do you think? I mean, I don't know what your stance is on God or what you believe, what your faith is, and I'm not trying to put you out in Front Street either. What I'm just trying to say is
fine.
That are we in the end times here? What's going on?
Oh, well, I mean, it's hard to say. You know, I'm not a Christian. I'm an Odinist myself. But that's a discussion for another time. But I think one of the main reasons why people just aren't believing it is, I mean, you know, let's look back, shall we? Y2K, that was supposed to be the end of the world. That didn't happen. 2012, that was supposed to happen. That didn't happen. And it's like, you know, we've got all these so-called people making these predictions all the way to whether or not you believe in him or believe it or you don't. Nostradamus. And none of these fucking people's stuff has panned out. So
okay.
It's kind of like, you know,
you
fool me once,
shame
on me, you know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, I mean, I could see your point there, and I did have a pastor that I invited on here tonight to talk and maybe just give a little little 15, 20 minute, you know, speech here about why, because he's a theology professor,
right.
He's a doctor and whatnot, and has a church and has a prison ministry and all that, and I tried to get him on here to talk, and you know, you can't get these guys on here to preach the word, you know, and
yeah.
Say, hey, can you answer the people's questions? No, they want to do it on Sunday when they're in their
right.
comfort zone, I guess, and you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but I'm just saying.
Not just on Sundays. They want to do it where they can pass that collection plate.
nobody does
anything for free anymore. Why would we expect religious institutions to not do the same?
Yeah. Well, I've got a private caller here, too. I'm going to have us join in the conversation. I had about three of you on here, but then you jumped off. I know it's late. I didn't advertise the show too much, and I know last night was a powerful show we did, and I thank everybody for the emails and the text messages. That was
mm-hmm.
a great podcast last night, and hopefully that woman does
yeah.
get justice, Tina. And, you know, it's a sad story, and, man, that, imagine when society breaks down, what's going to happen? What are the police going to do? You know, what are they going to do?
Oh, they're
going to
take care of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not
going to
be in the streets and in the cities and the communities. They've got families of their own to worry about, and that's why I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's essential that we need to form our own neighborhood defense groups.
Yeah, yeah.
Patrol
right.
our
I think
own
they
and
will.
Take care
I'll
of our
play,
own.
I'm going to play something about that, actually. 7 minutes long, but let me take another caller here. I don't want to keep everybody waiting. I'm going to play that, how it's going to start, actually. I'm going to play that. It's about 7 minutes long, and it'll depict to you how it's going to really happen, but it's more or less a confrontational type of how it's going to happen. But I believe that this is what the preparational mode is that we're going to have to be in, the mindset we're going to have to be in. And this is the 4th of July, folks. Independence? Yeah, right. Private caller. Go ahead, private caller.
Hello there, Joseph. This is Brown. How you doing today?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, yesterday's show, that was really powerful. I enjoyed it. I got information, and I just pray that the lady gets what she wants, you know, which is the justice. And have you heard that the Canadian government just sent an Ebola virus to the Wuhan lab, so I don't know what they're going to do with that.
The what?
I am
the what?
More...
What did they send?
They,
I didn't hear that. What did they send?
They sent the Ebola virus to the Wuhan lab, so I don't know what they're going to do with that, but I'm more scared of the Ebola than I am that's what I just heard.
Why would the Canadian send that there? I'm going to look that up. I mean,
I was listening to the War Room with Alex Jones, and they were talking about that.
All right, well, that's interesting. Okay, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to put me back on mute, I want to hear the
Okay, yeah, yeah, well, okay, no problem. I appreciate the call. Just try to chime in again if you have any questions or you want something to add, but I appreciate it. Thank you. The Ebola. Well, I don't know too much about Ebola, Eddie. What's up with that Ebola there? I mean, what do you think?
Well, Ebola, that shit will fuck you up.
That I did hear.
There's no question about it. Ebola will fuck you up. I would much rather get COVID again than ever have to deal with fucking Ebola. Just saying.
Well, I was in the same grocery store.
That shit is bad.
Speaking of the vaccination, too, though, to get on that, the vaccination thing, I was listening to a guy in the frozen food section, stocked the shelves today. He was talking to one of his partners that were working with him. And they're talking, and, you know, I like to listen to what people are talking about, you know, and they were talking about the vaccination. I guess this guy's wife got the vaccination, and she's all messed up, you know, and I'm just sitting there looking at him like, well, you know, you're a dumbass for doing it, you know. I mean, you know, you got the vaccination, you know. I mean, you know, I felt like jumping in the conversation, but I didn't want to start a confrontation, you know. I've already had a few arguments with people in there, you know. I almost got into a fight one time in there, and, you know, I don't need to push my luck.
Right. Hey, I mean, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I mean, the whole COVID vaccine thing, you know, that's starting to grind down and come to a halt. Nobody's really pushing it that hard like they were, you know, 3 or 4 months ago. I mean, hell, in Washington, our governor was offering all kinds of prizes for people to get the COVID vaccine. Between certain age groups, you would get a PlayStation 4, $500 off of video games at GameStop, pizzas,
yeah.
You know, you name it. And it's like, wow, you really got to bribe people like that to get a fucking shot?
yeah, I know.
When you
I
start
know,
doing
yeah,
that, that's when the person says, yeah, I'll pass.
Yeah, I know. Let me play this here real quick. This is Mark Konarki, actually. I've talked about him earlier. He was big time. He went to federal prison, actually. He was right there during the Randy Weaver days and whatnot, and ends up going. He was a big militia guy. Mark Konarki, you could look him up. You know, how it will start. You know, I'm trying to find it, actually, now. I thought I had it here ready to go, but I thought I did. Let's see, while I find it, let me play this one, then this Green Beret song there. And I'm waiting for my pastor friend to call back in. He's supposed to call back in, that's what he said. And, you know, he talked about the God thing, but it is late. A lot of people, it's late. But everyone's out, you know, dancing around the fireworks, you know. But how it's going to start, and then if anyone wants to comment on that, if not, I'll go to a few news articles there. I don't know where Sarge is tonight. Usually he jumps in here too. But let me play this, and then I'll get the Mark Konarki thing up.
Fighting soldiers from the sky.
Anyway, I want to say thank you to our friends there. Real quick, I'm going to read the prologue. This is from Battle for the Republic, Dance of Swords. So when and how would it start? Everyone knew that the conflict was at hand and that the open battle for the Republic was about to begin. The Dagger War had been raging for many, many years, with victories and defeats on both sides. Some had thought that Waco would be the boiling point, but had not gone as any had foreseen. The 90s had had its skirmishes, and the militias had performed well, but restrained themselves in the hope that some other solution would present itself. It had not. With each passing day, the pressure continued to build. The globalist agenda had been based upon lies, and the people knew it. Some were still trying to formulate a peaceful solution, but the system had its own plan, and treachery was the centerpiece of that plan. With the first blade drawn and blood spilled, there would be no turning back. In a time of its own choosing, and at a place no one had expected, the Dance of Swords would begin. That's a nice abbreviated way to explain to you when people ask me, I've had this happen, well, how do you think it's going to start? That is the, whatever I'm in private, you know, conversation with people, and y'all, a lot of you listening know this because I've spoken with you. The first concern is, how will it start? Well, let me walk you through it, because it's going to happen this way, and really we don't get to pick the location, but the goofs are going to pick somebody they want to attack. It's that simple. They're going to try, and most likely, although you never know with, like I said, we're on a sliding scale, but let's just stay between 60 and 90 days into the next year. The bat faggots combined with whatever homeland security bottom feeders, mostly mercenaries, are going to pick somebody that they're going to decide they want to use as an example. That action is going to be a face-off, and it's going to actually, you know, initially be casualties for those who are surprised. It's going to happen that way. They're going to get caught off guard a little bit, but not much, because everybody can sense it, feel it, taste it, touch it. And what's going to happen is people are going to call on others, and there's a lot of people who are going to mobilize. The other side's going to do the same thing. Oh, and they have all their technology, but trust me, we're pulling out all the stops, and we have all of ours. At some point, there's going to be a column of goofs in black uniforms, idiots, mostly pea brains. In fact, well, 99.9% pea brains in their spiffy little black uniforms with all their spiffy little alphabet letters on them. And that column of suburbans and labs and other nonsense are going to face off at an intersection. They're going to bump into each other by accident, mostly. And it'll be a column of militia, mechanized or light mechanized and armed up, already cock-locked and ready to rock and roll. And the bottom feeders in the black uniforms will be screaming their profanities, and they'll be screaming and screaming and screaming, and the other side won't be screaming a whole lot. And somebody's going to pull a trigger, and there's going to be one hell of a popcorn exchange. It's going to, from a distance, it's going to sound like somebody opened up the popcorn pan from hell, okay? And when it's all said and done, there will be no turning back. I want you all to be ready for that. Notice I didn't shout about it. I didn't scream about it. And there's none of us that are in the militia community that will be surprised by it. There are none of you in the Patriot effort that should be surprised at it at all. Now, some will try to talk themselves out of it, and some will think they can make a deal. There are no deals with the devil. And when that happens, then all of the game plans, all of the nonsense the enemy's thought to plug in will be for naught. And then the sky's the limit. Because one of the things that everybody has learned by watching what has happened over the years is in this game, it's going to be use it or lose it. In other words, you make contact, you fire their hind end up, and you turn them into puddles of mush. You don't try to talk with them. You don't try to negotiate with them. You do what you have done before. Now, some of you are older gentlemen who were in World War II, and I know you can't dance the dance the way we could, you know, in the past. I know that. But by God, you can still run a radio, and you know you can still drive a truck. Or you can at least help with men that are wounded or individuals that are hurt when the time comes and help to maintain the fabric of our society. But there's another group of veterans, the Korean War veterans, and guys, you're getting long in the tooth, too. You don't need to tell me. I know we got a lot of gentlemen in their 70s. And you know what? They're still online. And when the time comes, I don't care if you move fast. You pick the target, and you put them down like the dog that they are with one round. And if all you did was take down that one black uniformed scumbag, you know what? That's one less we got to worry about. You pick the time, you pick the place, you neutralize the target. But there's a whole bunch of Vietnam vets, and there's a whole bunch of other people that are from other wars and other periods of time in the last 40 years, and you are more than competent, and you are more than capable, and you've seen men die, and you've seen men stacked like cordwood, okay? The other side, they always claim, and we got a bunch of goofs on our side that are doing the, they're just stacked like cordwood. And next time someone says that, you turn and slap that sucker. Slap that girl for what he is. Okay, the next time you hear any goof come up with that or start yapping that BS, then you slap his hind end. Because everybody knows it's equal opportunity dying time once everything kicks in, and the other side ain't going to have it their way. Now, you're going to have to think ahead. Now, I'm going to tell you flat out, anybody who's running around like a chicken with their head cut off, shame on you. I don't want to hear any screaming. There shouldn't be any panic. I don't want to hear any, it's so terrible. I don't want to hear any of that either. Congratulations. It's the life we're living. It's the times we have. Make the best of them you can. Organize to the best of your ability. Fight to win. And once we've won, help the other guys that are still in need of assistance to kick the slats off the other ones that they're facing. Moose season is going to be real short. However, there's going to be a couple of seasons that open up, and there's a reason for that, because the bad guys are hoping to waste our time and resources in lesser actions that they might consume and eat out our substance. We have thought for the long term. Now, all of you out there, every one of you must be prepared at least to take care of yourselves. You completely change the formula of what you're facing, and the enemy cannot predict effectively what they're going to do. If everybody just does some of the basic stuff that we've talked about, just food, any quantity of food and water you have on the shelf, means that you are thinking with your mind and not with your stomach.
Yep.
Every one of you, all you could do is say, oh, peace, love, dope, I just can't touch a weapon. Well, fine. I really wouldn't have a problem with that, provided you get up off your dead hind end and do something to prepare yourself. At least prepare yourself. You know, in other words, get ready for what's coming. Now, that means food, that means water, water purification systems, and even if you don't think you're going to be a combatant, by God, you better get a gas mask, and you better do it now. Because they're already bragging about how they're going to bug spray people, okay? We already known that. That's part of their psychological formula. But what happens if we undermine it completely by being prepared for it? Changes the dynamic, just like everything else.
All right, everybody. Joseph Gibson podcast here, understanding the times in which you live today. I was actually on that call when they did that call. But he said a couple seasons. And those seasons, and one of those seasons actually have passed already. I'm not going to go into detail because I can't let out the blueprint of the, you know, there are people out there. And I'm going to tell you right now, whether you believe me or not, that's okay. I don't care. But I'm not going to say too much, but there are people out there that are prepared. I think one of the callers was saying we formulate neighborhoods where, you know, it's locked down and you get the neighborhoods come together or your areas come together and you have – you look out for your community. And that's
– That's right.
One, yeah, and that's what will happen. I assure you of that, depending on your location and where you're at. But, like, for instance, in my community, we have about maybe 22 to 23 that are don't meet and whatnot anymore, used to years ago, that we have a plan. And if something breaks down, now when one guy moves out and people have moved out through the years and whatnot, you get to know your neighbors. You get to know. If you don't, shame on you. You should get to know your neighbors. You should get to know your community, and you should know the people around you, you know. And if you don't, shame on you. But you get to know them and you the like-minded people. I think there's you got a meeting going on there in Texas coming up here, you know, where you have like-minded people that are coming up there, and you talk and you meet people, and that's how it goes. And maybe, you know, if they're not on the same accord as you, that's fine. At least you met them, but you know where they stand. You know, you know where you stand,
correct.
And where you know, and that's what it's all about. And that's what's so important about taking advantage of the freedom that you have now that you still have to use.
Well, here's something I want to point out too, Joe.
Yeah, sure.
I just want to point this out because, you know, what that, you know, audio was saying that you played is pretty spot on. Now, before I proceed with my following statements, I want to drop out a disclaimer here. By no way, shape, or form am I advocating, calling for, or suggesting. This is just theoretical discussion. Because I know these shows are recorded and archived, and you can't help who listens to them, where, and if somebody gets something in their mind to act based on what you've said. So, with that said, that's out the way. But in order to defeat your enemy, there are certain strategic targets and objectives that you must capitalize on. Otherwise, you're done. You know, power structures. You got to go after those. Cell phone towers. You got to go for those. You got to shut down your opponent's ability to operate and communicate. And through that disarray, you have opportunity. But that's all I'm going to say there. But just putting some stuff out there for people to think about.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with talking to your neighbors about this and stuff. You're not advocating anyone or advocating a confrontation with anyone. And that's
correct.
A key. And that's a key, very key. This is an interesting subject, actually, but I got a bunch of emails on it already, about seven people that are listening has emailed me. But one I got, though, that just came back at me here, I just looked at the link here, Shady Dealings, World's Deadliest Viruses were shipped to Wuhan Leak Lab from Canada by rogue scientists leaked to Chinese military. Omagan Braddock. This is a July 2nd, 2020 article, 2021 article, excuse me, updated 8:18 Eastern Standard Time. So it's up to date. Some of the world's deadliest viruses were shipped to the Wuhan Institute of Virology from Canada by two rogue scientists with links to the Chinese military, it is reported. Bombshell documents revealed now a shipment of dangerous Ebola and NIPH viruses were sent in 2019 from Canada's National Microbiology Lab to the Wuhan facility at the center of the lab leak storm. Then gives pictures of the lab and whatnot. It says the Public Health Agency of Canada said it sent the 15 strains of viruses on a commercial flight to China for the purpose of scientific research in March 2019. The package included a sample of the deadly zoonotic Nipah virus, which causes severe swelling of the brain. Lovely. Great. Difficulty breathing and seizures. Well, I'd say the swelling of the brain would pretty much wipe you out right there. It also included several strains of the Ebola virus, which causes fevers, vomiting, diarrhea, as well as internal and external bleeding. The disease has claimed more than 11,300 lives in West Africa. But soon after the shipment, I'm not even going to try pronouncing it. It's a Chinese name. It begins with an X, so I don't know how you pronounce that. And her biologist, husband Ketting Chang, were marched out of the Winnipeg-based lab and stripped of their security clearance, CBS News reports. The couple and their graduate students from China were escorted from the lab in July 2019 and officially fired in January 2020. Several computers were seized, a lab log book was missing, and clues regular trips to Wuhan were suspended, sources told CBS News. According to the Globe and Mail, PHAC said the firing of the scientists was an administrative matter and it cited possible breaches of security protocols. But the shipment of the virus samples and the booting of the scientists has been shrouded in mystery for 2 years, alarming security experts and their biologists. And the Royal Canadian Mounted Police are now investigating how two Chinese military scientists managed to secure access to the lab in Canada, a level 4 facility set up to handle some of the world's most dangerous viruses. The Globe and Mail named one of the scientists in Fuo Yan from the People's Liberation Army Academy of Military Medical Sciences, who co-authored a paper. Cops are also examining whether the viruses were shipped to China without a document protecting Canada's intellectual property rights, a source told the newspaper. The probe will look at whether the key materials which could have been used to recreate viruses or vaccinations were handed over to the Chinese authorities without the approval of the PHAC. So basically, the theory that the pandemic emerged from a lab in Wuhan has been gaining momentum, stepping up from being dismissed as a conspiracy theory to a genuine concern. So it goes on and on about the laboratory and them releasing this into the public. I mean, it goes on and on about a historical whatnot. It gets pictures of the lab there in Wuhan. I remember talking to a guy named Mitch Gerber and people that are listening to the show right now. We mentioned him, actually, I think. No, we didn't mention him last night, but there was people on the call last night. This guy named Mitch Gerber I came in contact with. He's been on Good Morning America everywhere. He can't stand China, and he hates the organ harvesting that goes on. And I actually interviewed David Kelleher, the former Prime Minister of Canada, about 6 years ago. I had him on this show, actually, and he talked about this, that there was going to be a major virus that was going to be released from China. And China is an evil country. And a lot of people realize this. And people even in the militia community would talk to me about this. China is our biggest threat right now as far as military and ground troops or any type of boots on the ground or even an attack on us. Now, we know about the Jewish media and we know about the Jewish New World Order that attacks our media and controls our money. But what about the other aspects of this evil out there, the China? I mean, this Red Army, these people, I mean, does anybody want to say anything about that? I mean, they're obviously, clearly a danger that we are, you know, I mean, what do we do about them? What do we do?
One of the issues with the Chinese military is they have repeatedly gone on record and said that China could afford to be nuked. And that's right, you're hearing me correctly, can afford to be nuked 3 times. And it not put a dent in their manpower. In fact, China has,
wow,
the last I checked, they have 400 million soldiers.
Really? I thought it was 100 million. Holy shit. Wow.
No, 400. They have the largest military than any other country in the world.
Yeah, they do. They do. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Now, what happens when you're a country that size, with a population that size, with limited resources? Why China has not expanded its borders through aggressive conquest is beyond me. I haven't figured that out yet. But I know it's coming. I do know that.
Well, they're looking at mistakes of history. Look at World War II, Adolf Hitler. He built up his greatest, I mean, the technology they had. They were so far advanced,
mm-hmm,
you know, but he went too fast, maybe. You know, he went, right, you know, he made the mistakes of taking too much ground and the resources. You just mentioned a key word. Germany didn't have the resources to sustain,
right,
the labor and what they needed, you know?
Sure.
I mean, otherwise we'd be looking at a different world today. Of what would,
mm-hmm,
what would our world look like today if World War II came out different? I mean, it's always nice to go back and say, what if? You know, but it's always good,
right,
to think that maybe we can recapture those moments and relive it again and redo it again. But I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't see it because the world has changed so much with the scope of its belief system. Or I don't know. I'm not over in Europe, so I can't speak for the people over there. But I can speak for the United States, and I just don't think that really will take over. I mean, the national type of socialist agenda that Hitler had. I mean, unless
mm-hmm,
we see a total collapse. What do you think?
Well, one of the biggest problems, the why you're not going to see it happen here anytime soon, is because the United States and the American people have not even begun to experience what's happening in Europe. They've yet to experience it here. I mean, you've yet to see your border being completely overrun with millions of people coming all at once, overwhelming your military, to where your military just stands aside and says, there ain't shit we can do. Now, we've seen a taste of what that could look like with the crisis at the border. But, again, that's just a taste. Then you don't have you don't have in the U.S. more mosques than you do churches, and you don't have no-go zones in your community that have been established by Muslims, to where if you're not a Muslim, you're not allowed to go there. Police aren't allowed to go there. You're not allowed to go in with a camera. I mean, these things are real, and we've yet to experience that. Now, I think when we do, I think a lot of people will have that, well, maybe these guys were right kind of thought.
Yeah.
And possibly
do
something.
I mean, if you look at the – I mean, the major disadvantage back – I look at the charts here, U.S. versus China cyber war, Chinese counterspace, U.S. counterspace, U.S. anti-surface warfare, Chinese anti-surface warfare, U.S. air base attack, U.S. airspace penetration, U.S. versus China air superiority, and Chinese air base attack. And you look at these charts – and today, we have a major disadvantage. All the way – now, if you go back to as close as 2017, we were at a approximate parity. We were at a parity with them. So before that, we had a major advantage. So that's how much it's changed in just a matter of a few years. That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, and just to think – and we're funding it, man. We're funding it with our money, buying the products, buying Chinese products, you know? Made in China?
Well, I mean, here's something to think about. If the United States was dead serious about cybersecurity and anti-cyber warfare, I'd like to think that we've got some pretty smart people here as far as, you know, knowing how to hack things go. Why not put them on payroll? And say, look, we're willing to wipe clean your criminal records. And we're willing to pay you XYZ. Come to work for us. Yeah, I mean, you see it all
the
time in
movies.
Listen to this.
I'm going to give you the exact numbers right here, Eddie. You're going to love these numbers. I know you will. All right, the Air Force combat aircraft. China has 1,500 aircraft that are combat ready, that are capable. I'm not talking about old aircraft, rejuvenated. This is high-tech, made new, that can be ready to fly and go up and fight. 1,500. The United States has 3,318. So we control the air. Okay, so we're ranked first, two times more than China, so we're still control the air. Now, the Army main battle tanks, China has 9,000, ranked first, 3% more than the United States. Okay, the United States has 8,725. Okay, now, the battle ready, so you get into these numbers here, and now let's look at the Navy. Navy Corvette warships. All right. Basically, they have 15 battleships that are just like superior, that are like the top of the line, and they're ranked eight times more than the United States. They're ranked second, though. I wonder who first is. Wow, because I'm doing this compared to the United States. Wow, that means we're third. wow. Naval nuclear submarines. China is ranked third. Excuse me. We're ranked third. No, we're ranked first. Ranked first. China is ranked third. Okay, they're 25 times more. We're 25 times more ranked than China in that department of nuclear submarines. Navy.
So
submarines
we've got the
now.
Air and nuclear powered submarine advantage.
So, yes, that's correct. Which is very important because submarines are undetected. They go under, you know, and they're probably sitting off the coast and can hit you in a moment's notice. You know.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no early warning system.
Yeah, and now, of course, now, you know, we talk about the personnel per capita. You know, obviously, they're 81% more efficient than we are in capita. I think it's we're like 5.2 to where, we're 5.22 per person per 1,000 of theirs. So they have a they have a massive ground evasion possible. Now, WMD missiles. China has produced and deployed a wide range of ballistic missiles, ranging from short-range missiles to intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs. China's missiles are operated by the 2nd Artillery Corps and include about 650 DF-11, M-11, and DF-11 and M-9 missile opposite Taiwan. Several dozens of those DFs and DF-4s, medium-range missiles that can reach Japan, India, and Russia. Okay, now this is very important now. And 18 to 24 DF-5 ICBMs that can reach the United States and Europe. Now that's 18 to 24. These DF ICBMs can wipe out a 90-mile radius when it hits of devastation. Okay, I mean, I'm talking about where you're going to get radiation poisoning and whatnot in the cloud. Now we also have, though. Yeah, but we have military equipment, though, that is installed. We know where they're going to target us. We already know where the missiles are going to hit if they launch them. It's whether or not we can knock them out of the sky or stop them or jam them before they launch. That's the key
right
here.
Well, I think we can.
Okay? Happens if seven of them get through? Seven of them get through and they hit New York City, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles. I think the other – what are the main targets? I know it's Fort Bragg, North Carolina, so I'd be hit 90 miles. But they have these blowers, and they have this equipment that can actually blow the radiational cloud away and out to the ocean, believe it or not. Look it up.
Yes.
It's interesting, actually, how they can control the radiation
after
a nuclear warhead hits.
I think one of the things that the U.S. should have continued to invest in is a lot of people aren't familiar with it. Now, you're going to think I'm talking about a sci-fi movie here. But we used to have this thing called the Star Wars program, which was a series of defensive satellites that orbit the United States that could knock out with some kind of EMP any type of ballistic missiles. And
but it's not from outer space, though. Eddie, that's a great man. I'm glad you brought that up. They have it, but what they did was instead of building it in outer space, they built it, and they call it the HARP Tower. Look up the HARP Tower, and that's where they have it on the ground where they can guide it through their electric magnetic – they can, like, zap shit. You know what I mean? It's weird, man. Look up the HARP project. I mean, it's crazy. You know, but so the technology is out there, man. It's just so insane.
It is.
That we've never even seen. I mean, there's stuff that even top military people, SEALs, Green Berets, top Delta Force, I mean, these secret covert people don't even see themselves. We're talking about just a secret elite group that sits in these underground bunkers under the mountains that never leave. They never come and go. They just live there. And they work on this stuff all day. They say they got aliens there, blah blah blah, all that crap. I don't know if I believe them or not, but you know, remember? You ever heard those stories?
Right,
you know,
show me
we got
one
access,
I'll
we got
you.
Aliens in here. You know, I mean, come on.
Right.
You know, but
I think it would be crazy. You know, if the U.S. was to get into a full blown war with China, you know, granted we've got air superiority, but for how long?
Well, that's key. Well, I think we would sustain air superiority, but I would say China, with its rugged mountain terrain and what it has as far as land mass and the mass amounts of slave camps they probably have underground.
Right.
Because you know they've got people captured underground. You know, I mean, you heard
absolutely.
About these underground tunnels and stuff, which kidnap children and stuff like that, which actually is true. And because some of them have escaped, actually. And now... You know, and yeah, I actually exposed one about 2 years ago. That much could be why they're coming after me. I don't know. That just dawned on me. But there was a woman that escaped or whatever, and she had like three fingers missing, and she was like all like deformed, kind of like beat up and everything. And a couple found her, and it came on my newsfeed on Facebook, and I was like, who is that person? Like that, and I said, that's one of the people in the underground caves. And I started asking questions, and sure, you know, and they disappeared. But I'm telling you, these people escaped, some of them, because, you know, it happens. It just happens. Some people escape. Because, you know, sex trafficking is crazy. I mean, it's just insane.
It is.
I mean, you know, did you ever look – hey, Eddie, real quick, did you ever look see that robot that they made called Sophia?
Yeah, that right there was like, what the fuck?
Now, you don't think they got a couple million of those running around?
Right, and I've seen other ones where – you know, they've done something similar, and they've had to shut down the project and destroy it because it developed what's the word without sounding too
accurate?
Accurate. A sentient conscience.
Wow.
Yeah, it started devising its own language and communicating with the other robots, and they were like, "Well, we got to shut this shit down quick."
Yeah, they attack.
Right.
Look up the Volkswagen plant
I'm not
in Europe
sit here
that where a robot attacked a human
but...
being. You know? No, but there was a Volkswagen
right.
plant in Europe that where the AI project up there, the robot actually attacked and killed a human being. You will see very little documentary on it, but it is out there. And it actually turned on the human and just killed him. You know, I mean, and so if that happened and that was leaked, imagine what the hell they got out there now that will freaking
now,
make you go crazy.
Now, I will support this. I will support this theory right here, and it's going to sound a little outlandish, but, you know, evolution. You look at, you know, for people, you know, and I'm not saying I'm a climate change believer, nor am I saying I'm a denier. You know, hey, shit happens, right? But this planet can only sustain a population so vast and so large with limited resources before we start going to war with each other over set resources. Being said, the next logical step in our evolution – I mean, think about it. What if, and this is just a big if, it's just theoretical, what if we could upload the human consciousness into a machine? We wouldn't need air. We wouldn't need food. We wouldn't need to be warm. We could self-sustain under any environment. That, to me, would be the next step in evolution, because you either adapt or you perish, or... You know, you pull a sci-fi movie and you look to the stars.
Well, Hollywood, Betty, always gets the ideas first. You ever notice that? They always come out with this stuff first. Those evil Jewish bastards freaking that talk to freaking Satan. I know they do. You know, and look, here's one right here that's real quick. This is a real good one right here. You know, killing America's economy and there's not much time left. I mean, this is excellent. I mean, I recently went on a trip across to the Pacific Northwest to revisit some old stomping grounds and to take a break from the often disconcerting developments of today's world. At least for a little while, we all need a vacation from the information war at times. And though I was happy for the rest, I am also happy to be back. After traveling on the road across four states, I was able to gauge the general condition of the U.S. in terms of social and economic effects of the pandemic mandates and COVID propaganda. I have some good news and I have some bad news. The good news is that the propaganda has not been all that effective in most places. The overall picture looks something like this, you know. And he goes on to talk about this. In the majority of the rural and semi-rural areas, as well as cities and red counties, regardless of the state, the majority of the people were not wearing masks, and the majority of the businesses were not demanding that people wear them. The vaccine ads and propaganda were also at a minimum. This includes Washington State and Oregon. Well, that's where you're from, Eddie. So is this true?
Washington State sounds pretty accurate.
Okay. Well, this is what he's depicting, so this is right up your alley, which have been notorious lately for their draconian restrictions. While Washington has technically lifted mandates starting only a couple days ago, the pressure to vaccinate is ever present there. Oregon was the worst state I passed through. Really? And so that's all right on target, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, the shit here with the COVID vaccine and the pandemics, you know, just our governor, Jay Inslee, has effectively killed this state's economy, so much so that a lot of the companies and businesses here that employ tens of millions are actually leaving the state. And,
How about Amazon? Is Amazon going to leave?
That I don't know, but I do know we are but a pubic hair away from a wealth tax here.
That was an interesting analogy. That's close.
Just saying. Yeah, I mean, we're that close to a wealth tax here. We've already got a capital gains tax, and everybody's saying it's the next logical step. And a wealth tax does not work. Every country that's tried it has had to abandon it because it's blown up in their fucking faces.
Wow.
But somehow our government...
I never asked you, how far away are you from Seattle?
I'm about a five-hour drive.
Okay, all right. So you're safe distance. Okay. You know, safe
more
distance.
More or less.
Yeah, because they're nut job. I mean, I heard that place is a freaking wacko zone. I mean,
right. But whatever Seattle does as far as policies, we do the same, and it's the same for Oregon and California. Whatever political policies they implement, rather it be social, economical, or whatever, we tend to mirror the same policies.
Wow. They say there is now two Americas, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. You know, I see people who blindly follow government demands in vaccination and the people who actually listen to the science. I see idiots versus skeptics. I see cultism versus logic. I see people who want to control others versus people who just want to be free and live their lives as they see fit. I see agenda versus truth. This is not about people being vaccinated, and it's not about people about public health or saving lives. Rather, COVID is a tool for subjugation of the public. That is all it is, and that is all it ever will be. It's about control, man. America is divided,
That's about right.
Because there are people who want to enslave us. I mean,
contrary to what anybody else has experienced in other states, I can't speak for, you know, what somebody experiences in North Carolina as far as COVID policies. But I can only say what we've experienced here, and that's exactly what it is. However, there's nothing here in the state of Washington that you can't do if you're not vaccinated. You know, some places still enforce mask mandates. Others don't. I personally don't care. I'm not going to wear a mask. That's just how it is. I don't give a shit. You know, you look at every major biological disease that we've ever had to deal with. You know, look at hazmat suits, for fuck's sake. You know, if you can smell a fart through one of these fucking masks, guess what? You're going to get COVID.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right.
And even the CDC hasn't been consistent.
Yeah. Damn. But why can't people see this logic, man? Why? You know?
Well, it's much easier to be told what to do than it is to think for yourself. There are a lot of people out there. Right. Well, there's a shit ton of people out there that believe that the federal government and the CDC and your state and local legislators will never steer you in the wrong direction. And if you believe that, you should take a bath with a toaster.
What do you think about this right here, this news story, which you're not going to hear, but here or your show or one or the other. But listen, the Moors members in standoff with Massachusetts police on I-95. It says a group of heavily armed men known as the Rise of the Moors in combat gear have prompted police Saturday morning with North, and I'm going to get to the point of all this right here, morning of Boston to shut down a stretch of Interstate 95. The standoff began around 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 0200, when police pulled over two cars on I-95 between Linfield and Stoneham. I've been up there, actually. About 8 to 10 men were dressed in combat gear, armed to the teeth, with long guns and pistols, Massachusetts State Police say, Christopher Mason said. Mason said, when the men refused to put their weapons down or comply with authorities, they said the group does not recognize our laws. Men then sprinted into the wooded area where two men have been arrested. No threats were made, but these men should be considered armed and dangerous, Wakefield police said. We are asking residents, blah, 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 and they go into it. Now, this is the Moors. Now, we were just talking about societal breakdown earlier. These are the factions of people that are going to be roving bands of gangs and people that are going to freaking come for you and your food and your family. And enslave
Absolutely.
You, maybe. You know, well, you need to have communities and stick together and band together, formulate a militia,
right. You
know?
Right, because
I mean,
when this happens, there's going to be two groups of people. There's going to be the haves and the have-nots. And the have-nots
yep.
are going to do whatever the fuck they have to do to have what you got. It's that
yeah.
simple.
Yeah. Imagine
now,
Los Angeles.
I can understand.
What a war zone that would be. Los Angeles.
Right. But I'm saying I can understand where these guys came from. You know, like for myself personally, I say nature's law supersedes man's law. And that's what these laws are that we have to abide by here is there's some asshole who thought this would be a good idea.
That's right. You got that right, Eddie. Yeah, man, you are right spot on that. You're actually right. I mean, who's more prepared, the haves or have-nots? Because the have-nots are going to have
I would say the have-nots. because the people
really?
That have, yes, the people that have are going to be expecting law and order, police, the National Guard, whatever have you. And the have-nots, remember, most of these people, they don't follow the law. They follow the law of I'm going to do what the fuck I want when I want, and unless you're strapped, you can't stop me. It's that simple. I mean, the movie The Purge is a prime example.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Yeah. That The Purge,
instead
that's right. I don't
having,
think they're going to sanction it, though.
Right. And instead of having, you know, one day of the year where you go on a killing spree and everything's legal, it'll be over, well, you know what? You've got a house. You've got a power. You've got running water and food. Well, guess what? I'm now making myself the primary owner of your property. Get the fuck out.
Wow. Well, what do you think about this one? You said haves and have-nots. What about if I told everyone here on maybe the next show or whatnot, diplomatic immunity? You become an ambassador as a peacekeeper between the two, and they do have it actually in the States. And I talk about this with the Republic. And you look at all you have to do is go to the International Law Supreme Court of the United States, and you look at the Foreign States Diplomatic Commission in Washington, D.C., the Freedom Watch, Inc. versus OPEC. Okay, you go into that. Or if you go into Foreign Nationals and Consulaire, or if you go Congress passed the Foreign Missions Act in 22 U.S.C. 4301-4316. State's embassy and consulate personally receive the equivalent privileges in that country. Tax exemption privileges for foreign diplomats, consulate officers, and staff. Been granted privileges and immunities accorded to diplomatic agents. So, therefore, if you do not want to be a – what I'm talking about is, if you know, Eddie, I brought up many, many times the Republic. And the Republic of the United States.org, you go and look that up. And you go back to common law, and you're actually – you renounce your United States corporate citizenship, but you live as a dual citizen. I've been looking into this, and actually, the law is on your side, and I'm not telling anybody to do it. And I think that's what a lot of people have discovered as to international law and the Supreme Court, you know, foreign states, diplomatic mission, and you get into this stuff, and you look at diplomatic immunity, because do you really want to be a United States corporate slave that has to abide by all these statutes. You just said it, one person's idea of garbage, you know? I mean, as you look up this stuff, look up the diplomatic immunity and privileges, look up diplomatic immunity in international law, and look up examples of diplomatic immunity. That's there for you because it's all contracts. You enter into a contract. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you get your driver's license? You enter a contract. You obey all the rules and laws of the road, right? Don't
That's
speed
right.
or you're going to get a ticket. You know, so
that's why they tell you it's a privilege, not a right.
Yeah, that's right. But you do have the right to travel, though, if you didn't agree to that contract with a driver's license. Because according to the 1969
yes.
Transportation Act, you know, I'm not trying to get into driver's rights things. What I'm just trying to say, 1969
sure.
Transportation Act, you're not driving a motor vehicle. A motor vehicle is something that you're getting paid to drive. It's a taxi service,
right.
A limo service, trucking. But you're traveling in your personal automobile to a different – why do they always say on your ticket motor vehicle? It's not a motor vehicle.
Right.
You know, look up the
it's
definition of motor
vehicle.
Yeah. But, you know, we start getting into all this and get away from those silly little arguments about driver's licenses and seatbelt tickets and all that stupid crap, sovereign citizen crap, and you start looking at diplomatic immunity and looking at the diplomatic laws, you'll see that law is recognized in the world court and international law is very important. Go to the Vienna Accord and whatnot, and look that stuff up. And the United States has to participate. They're members of that. So they have to, you know, so they're not going to – so if you file your papers right and you do things the right way, you can really get by and understand the way things are working. And just be careful, though,
mm-hmm.
because if you start trying to get things for free – and do things without trying to, you know, you're going to get yourself in trouble. But I just knowledge, man. Just throw it out there. That's what I say.
Well,
but,
I mean, here's something for you. And I'm actually going to – I'm going to stick up for you in one regard about, you know, the getting back to the old republic. You know, I see it all the time, especially during the summer with our Democratic leaders saying, you know, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Guess what, people? You're going to hear this from me. We never were a fucking democracy, first of all. We've never been a democracy. We've been a republic. You know, that's why it says in the Pledge of Allegiance, for the republic in which it stands. You know, we're not a fucking democracy here. So all these things you hear your Democratic leaders and in your mainstream news media outlets say, well, this person's a threat to democracy. Like you said, they're fucking full of shit. It's a lie. Don't buy into
it. It's a lie. So what else are they lying about? If they're lying about that, Eddie, what else are they lying about? Right?
True. I mean, that's a valid, valid point.
You know? I mean, shit. If they're lying about everything else, your taxes, everything else, where the money goes, you know, what
right.
we're really all about, the election itself, you know?
Right.
What
and,
the hell
and
else
and
are they
I've
lying to us
that.
About?
I've even said that in regards to taxes. For all your listeners, every year you get a tax return, that's proof that the government has fucked you all year long. They've
yep.
overtaken from you to subsidize
yep.
for whatever bullshit that they want to do for illegals or refugees
yep.
or foreign conflicts or foreign aid. You shouldn't get a fucking tax return if you're paying your fair share. There is no, well, oh, I got $8,000 back this year. That's awesome. No, you got fucked for $8,000. The government's
right.
just giving it back to you to keep you quiet.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something, you know? Well, yeah, obviously, I know you're very knowledgeable, and you get all this. And sometimes, you know, we can learn from each other. Like, sometimes I don't get some of the things that you're talking about, but I lean back, and I sit there and think about it for a little while, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he was right.
Right.
You know, and, you know what I mean? Then you got to,
you
know.
Up
and,
on
and,
you.
But, well, the thing of it is it's like just trying to – and even if sometimes you don't agree all the time, but the thing of it is that it's common sense that you have common ground at the end that you say, hey, the general idea of all this is, look, we're all out for the right thing, though. We're all out for freaking
right.
our people and what's right, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I don't have a problem. I mean, we may come across the message the wrong way, but nobody can ever present a message that's so perfect that really everyone will accept. There's always going to be something. You can put any man's life under a microscope, and especially his words,
sure.
and examine them. And not everyone's going to agree with it. You're going to have an enemy out there that's going to try to kill you, you know?
Right. And look, I admit freely when I'm wrong. You know, I'm not like, oh, well, you're fucking full of shit and I'm right, blah, 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 fuck you, eat shit. No, if I'm wrong, I'll
it
be like, all right,
well.
Shows what
kind of person you are, that's why.
Yeah,
yeah, it shows that
you're
honorable.
Let me correct my statement.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, if let's put it this way, tribalism or man's man at best is, you know, look, we're savages. I mean, we you know, let's put it, as much sophisticated as we want to be, we are mean people.
Right.
You know, but the thing of it is, though, is that your conscience would kick in. If you see a child getting hurt, you're going to help them. You know, you
sure.
know what I mean? I mean, you have that conscience about you. And even if you hated your worst enemy and you're watching them getting beat down to the end, you know, in the end you'd say, hey, now how can you work this out? Or you win, now you go your ways, you lost, you go your way. You see logic, you know what I mean? That's what
right.
I'm trying to say in the sense of battle. And that's a key.
You have to be at all times.
Yeah.
Now where you and me will disagree in the concept of conscience, see, most people, you know, say the same thing like you said. Now, I will agree, you know, if you see a child being harmed, you know, naturally you're going to step in and do something. Me personally, and I speak for myself, and now this
yep.
is where controversy generates, I think a conscience is nothing more than a Jewish invention. Why
okay.
should you feel bad for, you know, why should you make yourself feel bad about doing something when it benefits you and your family or you and your people?
Okay,
there's nothing
what if it
to be
doesn't,
sorry about.
Though? What if it doesn't
right.
benefit but it makes you feel bad? Then what do?
At that point, you rectify.
Okay. That's an interesting answer. All right. How do you rectify then that will subtle your belief or your standard as you as a human being without your conscience being in play? Because you just said conscience is instilled to us by
right.
a belief pattern. So take that aside. Doing what's mm-hmm. right and what's wrong, how do you determine what's right and what's wrong?
Well, it would depend on the individual person's definition of moral standards.
All right. Okay.
And that would determine, like for myself, if I decide to, I don't know, let's say, make amends with somebody or apologize to somebody if I've done something wrong to them when I've had no ground cause to do so. That, to me, for me, is out of character. If I do something to somebody, it's not because I don't have an issue with that person. It's actually because I do. I don't wrong people just for the fun of it.
Gotcha. All right, I got you. Okay, I think I understand that aspect of it. That's interesting.
Right,
I never heard anybody
right.
analyze that, the conscience thing. That was good. That's a good subject, actually. I'm going to look into that. Well, your subconscious, I mean, obviously you have feeling. I mean, you have a wife, or if you have children, you love them. So
sure.
I mean, is that a feeling, or is that your conscience?
No, that's definitely a feeling. You know,
okay.
For example, you know, when you have your first child and you're at the hospital and your first time holding your child, your conscience has nothing to do with it. Feel an immediate connection.
That's true.
Which
dictates
what you do next.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's interesting. I'm still going to disagree with you,
different.
Just based upon the God thing and whatnot, because I believe free will is our conscience, and God gave us free will, you know. But that's interesting. Well, I'm going to look into it. I mean, hey, I'm open to for you know, change. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, facts are facts, you know. And if that's
well,
that's
it's
the
like
feeling,
the term anti-Semite, like the term anti-Semite. The term anti-Semite was derived. By the father Sim, and it was used to actually the father Sim. You could look this up biblical wise. According to biblical, he had a major hand in a lot of developing empires, such as the Persian Empire, the Ottoman Empire, so on and whatnot. And they put anti-Semite into it when it was any persons who criticized Jewish people.
All right. All right, so...
just a little interesting historical biblical
reference.
All right,
okay. All right, now let me look at this then. Conscience, all right? So conscience is so understood establishes a general sense of moral obligation in the individual's consciousness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now conscience, a personal sense of moral content of one's own conduct, intentions, or character with regard to a feeling of obligation to do the right thing or be good. Now,
right.
That's not true when you hold a child. You don't have a feeling or obligation to do good. You have that natural connection, like you just said, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's wrong definition of it. Okay, all right.
Because
so
if that was
I'm
true.
I'm counteracting what you're saying, yeah.
Right, because if it was true, how do you explain the 70% fatherless rate in the black community?
All right, yeah.
All right. See, gotcha.
Yeah, that's
gotcha.
Interesting.
Gotcha.
But hang on now. Walsh, a daughter of charity, is remembered for her heroism in France during World War II in 1940. Because I'll bring up the Nazi thing or whatever. In 1943,
right.
when France was occupied by German Nazis, the search for Jews began. In the face of great peril, Sister Angus convinced her mother, Superior, to open their convent and offer refuge to a Jewish family. The sisters
right.
did the right thing, right, but very challenging thing when many would have told them to take the easy way out. Most of us won't
sure.
face the extreme circumstances these women face, but we all have our own challenges. What do I do if my boss gives me a task I believe is wrong? How do I make ethical decisions about medical treatment in times of serious illness? In the life of following
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, both great heroes and ordinary saints alike need the same thing, a well-formed conscience. So what is conscience? God creates us with a capacity to know and love him, and we have a natural desire to seek the truth about him. Fortunately, we don't search for God unaided. Indeed, he calls us to himself and writes his law on our hearts to help us draw closer to him. But is that really true?
I would argue the opposite.
Yeah. I gotta say, the only thing he writes on his heart is what I hear from other men preaching to tell me what I'm supposed to believe. Because if I was over in India or China, I'd be believing something else. I'd be worshiping a statue, right?
Sure.
Jesus told the apostles, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, John 14:15. We deepen our relationship with God by following him, and doing so, we become fully ourselves. So the importance of well-formed, have you ever made a decision that turned out badly? But if you had more information beforehand, you would have made a better decision. Sometimes we may have the best of intentions to do good, but choose an action that in itself is wrong. I mean,
I think that's poor
decision making. That's education.
In that same breath, I can say historically that a lot of the world's greatest atrocities were committed with the best intentions. So sometimes the right thing is the wrong thing, and doing the wrong thing is the right thing.
Right thing, yeah. Well, yeah, I got to agree with you there on that one, because I could see that there, you know. It's hard to, you know, cross-reference. I mean, I'm looking at my notes. I'm looking at articles. I'm looking at this.
Sure.
I'm just trying to pick what I can real fast. I mean, I've read a book a day before. I could read about a 750-page book in one day, you know, if I put my mind to it. But I got another caller here. Let's bring this caller back on. Let's see who this is here. Go ahead, private caller.
Hey, how you doing there, Joe? How you been?
I've been fine.
All right, this is Mr. Butt. And yesterday you guys were talking about me and that I got shot in the butt. And that's wrong. I did not get shot in the butt. I got shot in the buttocks. You forgot to add the tocks in there.
What, that bullet jump up and bite you out of nowhere?
Yes, sir. It went up and went down and it went into the culo.
Oh, we got a regular Forrest Gump here, Joe.
Yeah. I don't think we were talking about him yesterday, though. You know.
Yes, you were.
And that was yesterday.
Mr.
Maybe. Go ahead, Mr. Butt.
Yes, it was a lady. The lady, Mrs. Slay, was talking about me. Mr. Butt.
All right. Well, I don't think you should attack her now. I mean, or try to, you know. I mean, I want to take away from her in case she's listening here tonight. So, but we weren't talking about you.
Her.
I mean,
it was
obviously,
the buttocks.
It was the buttocks. But you weren't there though. We're not talking about you. You're still alive. Her son has passed away, so therefore, it's not you we're talking about.
Yes, I know, but I was there too. My name is Mr. Butt.
Are you that?
Oh, you were there too.
For attention.
Yeah, he was watching, I guess, and he said, "Damn, I wish I can get all this attention," right?
Right, because I mean, you gotta be a real demented sumbitch to take a tragic thing that happened to a person and turn it into you. I mean, do you live in a fucking basement and, you know, jerk off to pictures of Joe Biden by any chance? Just asking.
Actually, Kamala. Kamala Harris.
Yeah, Kamala.
You know,
I knew you were
going to
say that, Kamala.
And Kamala swallows. You know, Biden sucks and Kamala swallows.
Oh, shit. You can't make this shit up.
I know, you just can't. Yeah, this is, well, caller, what state do you live in, caller? Just curious, because I want to know how the economy is in your state. That's the only reason why I'm asking.
I'm in the state of Virginia.
Virginia. Yeah, that explains it all, exactly. Boy, oh, boy. Governor Norham, you must have been one of those abortions that were salvaged.
Actually, I'm a CIA rogue agent.
Oh, no, not the CIA rogue agent. Not that again. Why do you guys got to go out there? Come on, man. Anything else,
here's
Mr. Butts,
one
real
for
quick?
You, Joe.
Yeah, okay, let me mute Butts. Go ahead.
I was going to say a little fun fact here. Most people don't know the CIA here in the United States is not legally authorized to act on American soil, yet they do so anyway. What's up with that?
That's true. That's true. You're absolutely correct. I would like to look into that question actually and address that. Maybe why don't you should bring that up on your podcast? I mean, what the hell's up with that? Why are we having foreign? Who's in charge? Who's the founder of the CIA, by the way? You know?
That I couldn't tell you.
I mean, that's interesting. So, well, their headquarters is in Washington, D.C., we know that. And we know every year, I mean, every president, they get, who's their director? I don't even know who the hell their director is. But they're, the CIA, they're something else, let me tell you. But they're above the law, though.
I thought their headquarters was Langley.
Well, that's not what it says. It says Washington, D.C. That's what it says right here.
Damn,
I
guess they
changed
it.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. But anyway, Eddie, it's getting late, man. Hey, any final thoughts to the podcast? Hey, thanks for sticking around tonight, man. It was an interesting conversation, especially about the conscience.
It was
thing.
Good
I'm
content.
Gonna, you got me into my head spinning right now. I'm like pulling out freaking papers and everything. I'm like, looking at this crap. This guy can't write wrong here on this.
You give me too much credit.
Well, I always like talking to educated people, though. That's for sure.
Same here.
You don't want me stupid, you know, all your life talking to idiots. I mean, I've hung out with some idiots, trust me. I remember I was a pool hall in freaking 1992, and they got in a barroom fight, you know, the swinging bar. Well, I got hit in the head with a freaking pool. I mean, it was just crazy, man. All over what? Just some stupid shit. Three black dudes walked in. I'm with a freaking guy there. He's a Nazi guy. You know, he was one of the Nazis. And, you know, and that's fine. He's one of my best friends. He's a cool dude. And he didn't want the black people sitting at the bar when he was sitting at the bar. And he's drunk, you know. So, you know, that's going to be a problem. You know?
Right. It's going to escalate quickly.
And we're in a bar with maybe 40 people, and, like, 27 of them are black.
You know? Oh, this has got to be like the second bar fight story I've ever heard that didn't involve a piece of ass.
So, I mean, nevertheless, in the glass mirror behind the bar, I decided to break that first to take the distraction from everything. And after that, it was just a freaking free-for-all. And everybody got arrested.
Right.
Everybody.
Well, I mean, you know, I stuck around for the show just because the content was pretty good. A lot of the things that were, you know, talked about by you, you know, definitely piqued my curiosity. And, you know, where there's good content, I'm there. If it's boring, I can only give about 5 to 10 minutes before my attention span goes, ooh, squirrel.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got you on that. I mean, go with fast-paced life, and we look, when we're educated and we know, it's like videos on Facebook, I watch them and everything, I'm like, stupid, you know, I don't have time for it, or conversations even sometimes. Sometimes it piques my interest because I like to just get back at people and whatnot, but hey, who was in your chat room the other night? Hey, listen, somebody was in your chat on the NSM platform there, the chat room there, that was not me.
Uh-huh.
Somebody was in there. Somebody told me, sent me a message, why were you doing that in the chat room or whatever? That was not me. Whose show was that
well,
on?
Well, damn.
That was not me.
It was on Tuesday.
Oh, no. That was not me. I did not tune into your show Tuesday. I called in. I was on the road, actually.
Right.
I called in from my landline phone. But I did not go into the chat room, though. I swear to you, I wasn't.
Yeah, because your avatar with your picture popped right up in the chat.
Son of a bitch. They've done that before. They have.
Mike would have changed
your
password.
That was not me, man. I know Open Phones. I came up in the chat room. I was there with Bert's show, but nope. And I called into, the Arizona show there. What the hell is his name? I forget his name. Oh, man.
Harry.
Oh, God. Yeah, Harry. Harry Hughes, yeah.
Yep.
I forget. But I called into his there. I chipped in. But, man, yeah, man, that wasn't me in the chat room. What was he doing? What was this person doing?
Oh,
somebody
from
Discord sent me a message. They sent me a screenshot of it,
there was some
too.
Funny stuff there. One of the things that came from your profile was it was Tuesday. Ron had come on and was saying something, and then your avatar came in and said, "Hey, Ronnie, I talked to one of your cellmates from Detroit. What's up with you being Jewish?"
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh, fuck, here we go with this. And I was I'm like, Joe, we all know Rod's not Jewish.
yeah. Well, that's obvious. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, I wouldn't even freaking say something stupid like that. I would come at him with more something stupid. But, you know, but I don't see why he hasn't come at me in a while. So I just let it go. Let it cool off, you know.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. Oh,
best way to do it.
Somebody listening. They're all listening. Like you said, people listen to these things, and they listen, and they pick up on shit, you know. And that's just the way it goes.
Yep.
But anyway, hey, thanks for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it. And I don't know where the hell Sarge is. Sarge, usually he'd be in here too, and a couple other people. But they were on maybe 4th of July. They're out getting drunk tonight. Who knows? You know?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I don't know, man. But thanks anyway. Go ahead.
To all your listeners, happy 4th of July, if you get my drift there.
Yeah, if we can call it that. That's for sure.
Right.
But, hey, plug your show real quick. Plug your show, because I do have I've got a bunch of people on the phone line here tonight, and I got a couple in the chat room bouncing in and out. Go ahead.
All right, well, I appreciate it. Tuesday nights on NSM Radio, we've got Coast to Coast with me and my co-host Jay. You can check us out live on NSM88.org. Just go all the way down to the bottom of the site. You'll see the media player, and if you want to join the chat, click the blue highlighted link that says The Truth in Today's Media. It'll take you directly to our show, and you can either call in or join via the chat. Questions,
cool.
Comments, concerns, trolls, I welcome them. For some fucking reason, I can't get one on the show on Tuesdays. Everybody else does, but me.
Even I
you
get
know,
it.
It's
kind of
like
I'm
the fucking
that,
SPLC website. Like, what do I got to do to break this nut? Can't
I don't
get
know,
on
man.
The SPLC.
I know Bert got
them. Can't get trolls. What the fuck?
I know. Bert was like, they don't come over here. And he got hammered the other night on open phones. I know that. And then I think Ron got a couple, too, on his show. But you, none.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get a fucking one. Not
except
one.
For the chat room.
Not one.
Damn, man. Hey, all right, man. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Hey, safe 4th to you and your family out there and the other callers that called in, too, even the troll there that called in. Safe 4th
yep, same to you, man.
You guys. Yeah, be good, man. Take care.
Yep, you too.
I've never heard of them hitting anything this big before.
They didn't, but we are meant to think they did. These tracks are side by side. Sand people always ride single file to hide their numbers.
These are the same Jawas that sold us R2 and 3PO.
And these last points, too accurate for sand people. Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise.
But why would Imperial troops want to fight a Jawa? If they trace the robots here, then they have learned who they sold them to, and that would lead them back home.
Oh, wait, Luke! It's too dangerous!
You know this is not too fast. Well, I present the possibility each and every day. I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me.
The fear of life is a path to the dark side. Death is a natural part of life. Rejoice for those around you who transform into the Force.
The sun will die and burn the night away. He stood before me, was my enemy. Come to take away my liberty.
Now you will experience the Force.
I heard lawyers say up to seven individuals working for the sheriff or jail are in the cell. Both women and men deputies forcibly removed all of her clothes.
Attachment leads to jealousy. The shadow of greed, that is.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
Last, the Jedi are no more. Not if anything to say about it. I am. And your rule is not short enough it was.
However, the space that you are currently on is an endangered species, has endangered species on it, and you will need to remove your tent and your tarp at this time, and I'm asking again for your voluntary compliance.
We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like Matt through a loop.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings up on their chest, these are men America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 in the Green Beret. Back to home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died
for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day, have him win the Green Beret.
John. Here, you've earned this. You wrote it big enough?
Yes, old King George should be able to see that.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, a decent respect requires that they declare the causes which impel them and separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to establish new government. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, do and with the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved of all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. In the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.